Okay, so let's start with the International Standard on Quality Control, ISQC 1. What's the purpose of this standard? Why does it exist? Well, it's there to make sure that the audit firm has principles of quality control running through the whole firm, not just while it's conducting the audit, but all of the time. And there are certain key principles embodied within that quality control standard. First of all, what about leadership? Each audit organisation has to have strong leadership, and leadership that promotes and supports the quality control standards within the organisation. It would be no good having an organisation where all of the staff were expected to comply with quality control guidance and the people at the top weren't. So it's do as I do rather than do as I say. Next, we have the fact that each firm has to have its own ethical requirements. Now, if you've listened to our first podcast, or even if you haven't, there are ethical standards that are required of all auditors. Each firm will then create its own set of ethical standards. So it may have ethical standards relating to relationships that the firm staff have with the client staff. And your own internal requirements may actually go beyond the scope of the basic ethical standards in the APB guidance. Next, we have rules on acceptance and continuation of client relationships. So what procedures do we have to go through to accept client relationships, and how long should we continue with the same client? There are rules in the ethical standard that tell us what the tipping point is for when we might be considered to have a too close a relationship with the client. But the firm's rules might be even stronger than those in the basic ethical standards. Then we have rules for human resources. That would be in terms of how we recruit and train our members of staff. And next we have rules on engagement performance. Do we have our own internal working as to how we go about performing an engagement? And lastly, the firm should have rules for monitoring. That's monitoring its own audits. It may have its own internal auditors who monitor the work of the audit team. I'm going to give you a little example now that you might like to think about. Have a listen to this. You might want to turn the podcast off after you've heard it and think about it for a few moments, then turn the podcast back on and I'll talk you through an outline solution. So here's an example. Let's say your firm have been approached by Dawkins Precision Components PLC to provide audit services. You might be very excited about that. It might be a really big client. Let's say the company has 5 sites located around the UK and a further 2 sites in Asia. They have made losses in each of the previous 3 years. And in 2007, you wouldn't believe this, the chief executive was imprisoned for fraud. He's now out and he's back being chief executive. They have had 3 different auditors in the previous 5 years. So you will be the 4th auditor. Which aspects of the quality control standard need to be considered here? As I said, you might like to turn the podcast off for a few moments and think about it. And when you turn back on, I'll talk you through the solution. Okay, so the easy answer to that question is all of them. Every single one of those principles needs to be thought about. Let's just think about them ourselves. What about leadership? You have to have strong leadership within the audit firm if you're going to take on this client. You've just been told in the question that the chief executive of the client was imprisoned for fraud. You're going to have to make sure that your leadership within your organisation, your engagement partner, for example, has the strength of character to be able to deal with this situation. Your firm has to have its own ethical requirements. You may, for example, have rules that would stop you from dealing with this type of client, a client where the chief executive had recently been released from prison after serving a sentence for fraud. You will certainly have rules on acceptance of engagements and the procedure that you need to go through. For example, you would communicate with those previous auditors, certainly the auditor who was there before you took over. In terms of human resources, you'd have to make sure that you had the personnel to be able to carry out the work. Now, we said that 2 of the sites are located over in Asia. they may be significant. They may have material balances in them, and we may need to go over there and audit those sites over in Asia. Do we have the human resources? Do we have the language skills to be able to do that? In terms of engagement performance, again, the fact that we have sites all around the UK and sites in Asia as well would mean that we'll have to consider how logically we're going to go about visiting all of those different sites. And finally, on monitoring, the quality of the work will need to be overseen and will need to follow the procedures of the firm in monitoring that audit. So basically, on that particular assignment, a rather unusual one, all of those principles will come into play. But in fact, they'll probably come into play in every assignment that you undertake as an auditor.